CFRO Community Radio Station. The upcoming show, Conscious Living Radio, is a program that explores frontiers of consciousness, spirituality, personal growth, emerging paradigms in psychology, health, science, and innovative philosophies that reflect commitment to the advancement of individual, social, and global transformation.
Welcome to the show. It's Conscious Living Radio here on Co-op Radio 100.5 CRFO in Vancouver. This is Mark Curran filling in for Tasha this evening. And tonight we have a great guest. She is a lady of many talents. She's a self-help author, a global consciousness leader. She's an awakening facilitator, timeline specialist, and a researcher. Sidra Jaffrey is a highly successful intuitive healer and has spent over a decade working with thousands of clients from all walks of life. Sidra's own personal trauma of leaving her arranged marriage inspired her to develop the principles of awakening, 9 steps that encourage healing and connection to our authentic self whilst opening up to our highest potential. Her passion to help people has led Sidra to develop a number of cutting-edge tools that transform belief systems, leading to healing for her clients in the areas of health, wealth, and relationships. She's the author of The Awakening, 9 Principles for Finding the Courage to Change Your Life, and founder of both Global Online School, The School of Awakening, and the retreat Soul Spa. Welcome to the show, Jaffra, or Sidri.
Thank you.
We're happy to have you. Maybe you can tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your story and what led you to the work that you're doing.
Basically, I have spent, thank you so much, by the way, for a great bio. Just to sum it up in a way that, for me personally, awakening happened when I was going through a really low time in my life. Perceptively, everything was good. I was married, had kids, and everything was okay. Yet I had this constant depression and this constant anxiety, and no matter what I did, it did not move, until one day when I was on the verge of taking my own life, and then it didn't happen. And I promised myself that I'll educate myself and find out why is it happening. And that led me to the whole world of consciousness. I researched into mind sciences, NLP, EFT, and what I found out is it's the consciousness of our body, it's the consciousness of our ancestors, it's the consciousness of our mothers, what they were thinking once whilst we were in the womb. They have a lot more impact on our lives than we know of it. And I found out that my challenge was coming from my birth, my early childhood, being a girl, and whatever the trauma had happened, even though my physical life had changed and I had moved on and I had consciously, as an adult, I had all a good job, a reasonably good life, yet subconsciously those programmings or those memories were haunting me. And once I learned how to access those memories and heal those and use the forgiveness process, only then I would say my life changed. And I started facilitating people around me, started out with women especially with depression and weight challenges, and before I knew it, by the grace of God, things were moving, and I developed this tool called ABC, which is Access Body Consciousness. And after like about 5,000 hours into genuine facilitating people through from phobia of spiders to people having chronic major physical illnesses, going through the process, I have written a book. It's called The Awakening, which 9 Principles of Finding the Courage, which really takes people through a process, a system, a way that people can use if they're looking for an alternative or conscious way of finding solutions for their day-to-day problems.
Well, that's certainly a great story. Now, one of the questions that I ask many of our guests, because, we are called Conscious Living, the name of our program, and you use the word a number of times in telling your story. So maybe you can share with our listeners, to maybe people who are new tuning in and not really familiar with what we're speaking of, what is consciousness?
So consciousness is awareness. It's for me, consciousness is an awareness of an energetic memory that is running through, I would say, all things. And it's your consciousness or your awareness that allows you to experience this, allows you to see through it so you can make an informed decision.
And so then what does it mean to awaken?
So for me, awakening realizes awareness. It's knowing, for example, if you're at work and you're having a bad day, your boss is upset with you or you are upset with your boss, project didn't happen, if you are looking at a pre-awakened point of view, you might get upset and you might blame or you might criticize and you might have a bad day. As the same event happens and you are experiencing the same event from an awakened eyes, before you going into blame or criticism, you will have the awareness of saying, hang on, where is this coming from? Did my boss is having a bad day him or herself, and this is just a reflection, or is something that I have created that I need to work on, that once I walk on it, this can be fixed. That doesn't mean you're not feeling the hurt. That doesn't mean you're not feeling the upset. It means you're understanding where that upset is coming from, and you have a choice to respond to it.
Beautiful. I love that answer. That's great. So now, is it fair to say that there's a spiritual component to awakening and consciousness, or does there have to be?
I would say what you're calling is a spiritual component. I'm calling it an energetic component. So if you think about it, it's everything is energy, and energy contains information, and that information dictates your consciousness level, your body level, and all the matter in the world. And that the spiritual people call it spirit, and the religious people call it God, and someone like me who believes in both calls it energy.
That's a great distinction, because I do believe everything is energy as well, and it's kind of, you know, the foundation of why we're all here is that there's energy, you know. So let me ask you this. What does it take for someone to be awake or to wake up? If we're kind of living in a fog, you know, you're relating to a situation where somebody might be at work. What happens for someone to wake up? What's the catalyst for that?
I feel the first catalyst would be the spirit says everything's energy, contains information. It will be the law of intention that having this desire just starts with a thought. And the thought can be, why me? Or the thought can be, how can this be? Once it starts, because your mind is a meaning-making machine, you know, you don't have to go out there to start. You have to start from within to start. And how do you start? You give a question into your mind, and this mind starts to work for the answers. You know, for example, if I ask you who won the last X Factor or X Model, whatever the program is, you might consciously not know it, but 3 days later, 5 days later, when you're in the sleep or in the shower, suddenly the name will appear.
I remember.
And that's what
Go ahead, sorry.
No, I'm saying, and that's what's required to be awakened. It starts from the will. It starts from the desire to know more. And once you want to know more, you will awaken more.
Do people kind of accidentally awaken?
I believe so. I don't. Look, accident is a way of describing something which we don't understand. I would say that awakening is always happening, because awakening for me is awareness. Awareness equals growth, and we are consistently awakening. Just like you can't step in the same river twice, the awakening is consistently happening, and you can't breathe the same thought twice. So it's a nature's way. Awakening is a way of nature. It's you recognizing it's happening makes a difference between you suffering or you just being in pain as a way of growth.
Now, you'd mentioned earlier about in your own story about dealing with depression. And depression is so relevant and prevalent in our world today. Now, how does that kind of fit into awakening higher consciousness? And why do you think so many people are depressed today?
So, plus, I would like to, before I give you all of my theories on depression, because I've done a lot of work on it, I would like to put out a disclaimer that I'm no medical doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And I do understand there is a chemical reason behind depression. And in the context of my theories on depression, it's all based on what I've observed and the consciousness and the people I've addressed and what I have found out, the common themes that adult people with adult depression has a common theme. A certain period people have gone through the same similar trauma, they are usually develop depression in later life.
Hmm. Well, thanks for the disclaimer. So, I think that's a fair statement for sure.
So I can start from my depression. As I said, that I didn't know why it was happening, and I had these suicidal thoughts, and they were always with me. And once I started this journey, and I did a little bit of research, and I realized there are three types of DNA or three types of memories: your ancestral memory and your, if you believe in past life, your past life memory and your current life. And when I looked into my ancestral line, I found out my grandfather, my father's father, had committed suicide, unbeknown to me, and not even we knew consciously. But it turned out the memories that were in my genes, that were, it's like dormant. I researched my cousin and my uncle, and they all reported the similar feeling of these thoughts, not wanting to be here, but they never, let's say, had the courage to act upon it. I was that crazy go-getter that whatever thought was coming in, I was just accepting and living it. But once I realized that actually this is not my thought, you know, just like the quantum physics suggests that the act of observing an event changes the result, the act of understanding and recognizing where it's coming from changes the way you respond to that thing.
Hmm. So, No, go ahead.
Now, I'm saying sometimes it's a memory that gets triggered, that's a dormant. If your mom had gone through some depression or postpartum psychosis or any kind of traumatic event that a parent has experienced, a child takes that memory as an imprint, and it stays dormant. The environment is conducive as it for the depression to flourish or blossom. It does, and it's usually triggered by low self-esteem and not having, I would say, a sense of reason of why am I needed in this life. One of the biggest reasons depression happens is because of the heartbreak, and on a soul level, it's an awakening, a death of the ego. Depression is when the ego is dying and the soul is awakening and realizing that, hey, I am not as special as I thought I was. I am not as different as I thought I was. You are me in a different form. And that creates depression and ego and question the self-worth, which is when the soul enters and the awakening happens if a person chooses to take that call.
Hmm. So the belief then is that, you know, these traumas get locked into our DNA and then passed on. Is that basically what you're saying?
Yes, exactly. And I think epigenetics, there's so much scientific research that they're talking about the memories in the organs and how when they are of the transplant, the receiver started to having the same feelings or the same desires as the donor's heart.
Yes, and I recall reading a report not too long ago that was talking how science is now beginning to prove this, and you talk about epigenetics. We've had a gentleman where we spoke about those things not too long ago as well. So now, how does one then, I guess the question is, how does one work with that? Is there a way to find out kind of what's going on, or is that just part of the awakening process?
I think one must always evaluate and take a stock check of their life. That way they know that what challenges are coming in the way of where they want to be. And a lot of times, most people are lost or confused, and this is my reading, is because there's no real sense of direction. There's overload of information. There's disposable environment. So the solidity of the intention of this is what I want to achieve, not only that, but why am I doing it? So the first step for everything is evaluate all your actions and ask yourself this question: why am I doing this, and what am I getting out of it?
Mm-hmm. Which leads right back to consciousness, which is simply awareness.
Exactly. And recognizing, it's like so many of my clients who come for a weight challenge, when you ask them, hey, how many biscuits did you have with the tea, or how many portions of chips did you have? They would have a blank, like they would go through the whole packet without even realizing, because the consciousness of eating that food is not there. The awareness of this information is going inside my current information, and together they will add on to the information.
Mm-hmm. So now is there, what's the difference then between, so you have consciousness, you have subconsciousness and unconsciousness. How do those three kind of relate to each other?
So in my understanding, subconscious and unconscious are synonyms. The three terms that I have found out or read, it's your conscious mind, that part of you which is aware of what you're doing, like, you know, you're talking to me and I'm listening. And then subconscious part is that part of you which is like a software. That's where the program is, like you're blinking and you're breathing. All of that is happening simultaneously without you having to use your conscious mind. So it's like a software of your mind. Then you have, which we all have it, I believe, is your superconscious, which spiritual people call your higher self. Or the science called the universal power, this unified field. And through the layers of consciousness within us, we have the ability through consciousness to access not only our subconscious mind, where the genetic programming, the environmental programming, or the memories of your events is, but also tap into the superconscious, which is the collective, universal, all-wise, all-loving field, where to plug into it, you can receive higher information, hence the awakening to the higher levels.
Nice. So then, you know, this is where, you know, I've always said, you know, you can't change what you don't acknowledge. So what you're saying really validates that, you know, that awareness in anything that we do is the first step of creating change.
100%. Like, denial is the enemy of change.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
What you don't know usually gets you killed. That's what I say.
Yeah, that's pretty drastic.
Kill your ego, confidence.
Now, you said something earlier that kind of validates something I learned a number of years ago in my studies as well. And again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not here to claim anything of that nature as well. But there was a statement that I heard where one of the most common causes when we get back to talking about depression was lack of life purpose. And you kind of were talking about that earlier when we were talking about depression. So how do you feel that, you know, the purpose of life, and what is the purpose of life? Is it the same for everybody, or what's your take on that?
So, Mark, for me personally, I'm a big fan of acronyms. So if you ask me what's the purpose of life, I would say for me, life is light in finite experience. And the purpose of life is to experience the infinity of life in the finite experience of the bodies.
What do you mean by finite for our listeners?
Limited. You know, your light is unlimited. It's infinite. It's abundant. Your body is limited. It's perishable.
Unlimited possibilities.
Yes. So you are basically, we descend to ascend, and it's a game we play of expansion and contraction to see ourselves through different facets, different experiences. So if you ask me, yeah, depression is very common, and what is the purpose of life? And I would say the purpose of life is not the same for everyone, because the purpose of your life is dictated by your consciousness of life, and based your consciousness level, your purpose is given to experience the expansion of the level of the stage your soul is.
Okay.
So the person in depression, they would, if I go spiritual on you, I would say, if somebody is picking up, let's say, an alcohol on a soul level, depression, then their soul is looking to experience self-love. If somebody is struggling with alcohol, then this soul is looking to experience compassion. If someone's been abused or someone's been wronged, their soul is looking to experience forgiveness. Mm-hmm. If someone's being bullied or they're being rejected or they're being abandoned, their soul is looking to experience self-acceptance. So depending on the stage of your soul and the brightness of your light or the evolution of your consciousness, you have a flight plan, I'd like to call it, which dictates the, some people call it destiny, but it marks the your test level or the obstacle course, which is spanned through the course of your life. And your job is to turn every obstacle as a stepping stone to grow and expand and experience yourself more than what you already have.
Wow, okay, that's, you're certainly speaking my language. Now, I have one question for you in what you were talking about. The you had said something specifically about the brightness of your light. Now, so my question would really be is everybody's light a different brightness at its core? And then we kind of shield it, so we shade it, so we're not releasing it? Or are we at different levels of brightness based on, you know, people talk about a young soul, old soul, and things of that nature. So how does that play in? Especially if we're all light, right? Everybody, we're all light, which is energy.
Yes. And remember, energy contains information. So the brightness of your light will be dictated by the constitution of that information that is radiating through that energy. And if you, as a, I'm not a doctor or a professional medical but or physicist, but I know that there are four major elements that the combination of which creates human consciousness: air, water, earth, fire.
Mm-hmm.
But that would make me believe that there must be different qualities of light based on different elements which are alchemically combining and creating that frequency.
So is it possible for one to brighten their light?
It's 100% possible for one to brighten their light. And what I also wanted to say, that we are not just singular atomic molecular light beings. We are actually multifaceted, multiverse beings. So the light of the quality of the brightness and the dimness is all shaped within like a diamond facet, crystallize your soul, and depending what facet of you is out and dominant in your body will dictate the brightness. For example, if the facet of you is kind, if the facet of you is loving, and that's radiating through your body, you will naturally radiate an aura. But if you are experiencing shame, or if you are experiencing struggle, or if you are in apathy or anger, your aura will naturally be dim because the facet of that you is not that bright. The quality it resonates is different from kindness and compassion.
Beautiful. I like that. So now we have to go to a little bit of a break. We're going to play some music and do a few things. But when we come back, I've got your book here in front of it. I actually just received your book today in the mail. And I took a quick look at it, and you've got some great stuff in there. And I want to go over your 9 principles for finding the courage to change your life, because I see you've got a beautiful acronym there for that.
Yes, I love acronyms.
Awesome. That's what you said. So we're going to go into that just after we play this great song from one of our friends, Wendy Cobina DeMoss. Hang on. We'll be back.
Breath inside of breath. Every Saturday from 11 to 3 p.m., visit the downtown East Side Women's Market. Join us at our third annual summer market with all women vendors, hosted outdoors in close proximity to the Downtown East Side Women's Center. The Downtown East Side Women's Market is a conflict-free and safe space to celebrate women exploring innovation and creativity, providing skills development, income generation, and neighborhood engagement. Find secondhand treasures, recycled goods, arts and crafts, and jewelry. Enjoy the music, food, and performances. Most of all, come to connect with our community of women. Every Saturday from 11 to 3 p.m. until September 1st, the Downtown East Side Women's Market.
And welcome back. You're listening to Conscious Living on Co-op Radio 100.5 CRFO Co-op Radio in Vancouver. And today our guest is Sidra Jaffrey, and we're talking about really the art of awakening. Welcome back.
Thank you.
It's my pleasure. I thought that we've, you know, the conversation in the first half of the show was fantastic, and I think it's really important when we, you know, talk about our consciousness and awakening, just that awareness behind why we do what we do, and then an awareness of what to do, and then how to move forward to create the change that we want to create within our life, and, you know, whether it be in our, you know, relationships at work, in our health and our wealth, and just life in general, how we show up. Now, your book is called The Awakening, 9 Principles for Finding the Courage to Change Your Life. Maybe you can tell us about what inspired you to write the book, and, you know, the distinctions that you made in terms of, you know, your system to really help people awaken.
Yes, the system or the awakening principles were developed. It's like a natural, organic process when I was giving my clients practical suggestions, life tools, and I was saying, okay, start with quality questions. So there's a natural sequence. If you think about it, there's a 9 steps or the 9 blocks that you can use as a foundation way of how to live an awakened life, because the problem we were facing, or we all face, is, for example, even if it's quit smoking, or if you want to change a habit, or if you want to change a food habit, when you are releasing something, or when you're letting go of something, nature fills the void. So you need to replace it with some habit, some way of being. And once, if a person has a small limited belief and they have ideas or decisions which didn't serve them, so we give them an idea, a way to think. So if you face a problem, what do? You ask quality questions. It all starts with a question. Question empowers, answer disempowers. And once you've asked the question, then what do? You work on you, because you realize everything is energy. It contains information. All that you see is nothing but a part of you outside of you. So you're always working on yourself. It's your job to make you happy, because that's why you live in your body.
Now, and so, just to clarify for our listeners, this is all part of your acronym for awakening.
That's right. These are
your nine steps. Yeah.
Yes. Summarizing them, and for those who've never heard of awakening, awakening has about over 70,000 words with a lot of practices. Just for a quick snap for them to remember, so it's an awakening acronym. And where do you start from? Asking quality questions. Then what do? You go inside, work on you. Now then what do? You realize awareness is the key. What you know, based on that you make a decision. So if you're upset at yourself, you need to use awareness as a key to understand why you're upset, because there's a mismatch of expectations and your value was broken. Then once you've become aware, what do? You understand knowing versus owning. Everybody knows how to be kind, how to be loving, how to be caring. But when a situation arises, when somebody upsets you, then how you react, distinguish between what you know and what you own. You know, and that way it goes on all the way from knowing versus owning, to everything is energy. Energy contains information. So it's kind of taking you through from energy. Once you realize everything is energy, then you enter the block of there's no judgment. Whatever you're labeling as bad, good, right, wrong is an energetic constitution flowing through your body, storing in an organ, creating a pain or whatever it is that as a result of judgment you are experiencing. So you release the judgment, then you go from no judgment to it takes one to see one. So it's kind of not going back to work on you, but realizing that when you're working on you, you're working on you. But when you're helping your family member, when you are accusing your boss or whatever is happening, there's a if you spot it, you got it. So it's kind of taking them to responsibility and saying the fingers at point one, the three fingers are pointing back. So once they realize it, if they spotted, they got it. Then the next principle, which is the second last, is nothing is missing. It's kind of the it's like a catch 22. They say nothing is missing, and yet my desire to make things perfect is perfect. So it's kind of that principle moves into a spirituality angle and says to you that no matter what challenge that you're experiencing on a human level, maybe it's abortion or maybe it's the death of your child or even through its war, there is a divine order that is running beneath your conscious awareness and leading to your desired soul's result, which is the final principle that growth is inevitable, that even though nothing is missing, so all that you're experiencing is part of your growth because that is inevitable. And how do you activate or how do you live growth is inevitable? By asking quality questions. So it creates a loop.
Mm-hmm. Now, you went through those pretty quick, so I want to slow down and maybe talk about these in a way so that we can have a little discussion, because there's a lot of great practical, tactical information there that I think, you know, when people become aware, they can really, you know, help within, you know, growth, because growth is inevitable. You're either growing or you're dying, right? So let's go back to asking quality questions. Now, I've always believed that questions are the answer. Well, actually, I won't say I always believed it. I learned one day in my own awakening that the quality of the questions we ask ourselves gives us the quality of the answer. Now, can you be more specific and maybe give us some examples of a quality question versus an empowering question?
So a quality question will generally be focused on more of results focus and rather than reason, because a lot of times when we are upset or when we face a situation where we feel disappointed, a lot of time a default question that shoots out from our mind is why me? And the second you ask that question, your mind, as we said, is a meaning-making machine. It will start to bring out all those past memories of where you failed previously and where things didn't happen. And it will, your mind will say, oh, that's why, because you're a failure, because your mom doesn't believe in you, because your father did this. And that is disempowering, because when you're asking that question, your mind is giving you all the reasons why it didn't happen.
But then let me ask you this. If you say, why me? Why doesn't your brain answer then, because you're awesome, because you deserve this, because you know what you're doing and you're meant for exactly what is happening here? Why does your mind give a negative answer versus a positive and empowering answer if you ask a question specifically like that, why me?
I love that question. Because your mind doesn't have a mind of its own. Your mind is a result of it's a file manager. It's only revealing information what's hidden as a reason of the event. So if you had been successful for that job interview, or if you were successful in that relationship, and then you ask your mind, why me? Then your mind would have given you all the reasons what you have said. But if you look at the result, that result is what is not incongruent, but whatever the mind is saying, awesome, the result is incongruent. So when the question is asked, why me now, this time, is because this always happens to you. Because you were born on a Wednesday, that's why you're unlucky.
I get you. So when we ask these questions, they're definitely somewhat situationally specific. Now, what about other quality questions? Like if I was to ask myself, you know, one of the questions I ask and that we use in our coaching framework is, you know, what's good about this?
That's a great question. Also, I like the question that says, what am I missing? So what is, and the other one would be, what is right about the situation that I'm missing. Because usually when we are stuck, it's something that our consciousness is missing.
Mm-hmm.
So you throw out a question out and saying, what else is possible here? For example, if your colleague has missed their project and it was a big deal and you were supposed to submit a tender, but it didn't happen. So it's perceptive natural reaction to say, how dare this person did this and they are incompetent and they're that. Before you start throwing out all these labels, you use the ask quality question and you say to yourself, what else has happened? What else can be possible?
Mm-hmm. And your brain will simply answer the question that you ask it, right?
Exactly. It's garbage in, garbage out.
Mm-hmm. You know, another great question I learned is a quality question. I just want to share with our listeners. And this one is something that I find really powerful as well is, you know, what am I grateful for?
I love it. This is law of attraction, the secrets, like what you appreciate, and it's a beautiful way of us moving your focus from how life is not working for you, saying, actually, what I already have, what mm-hmm. am I grateful for? Great one.
I think sometimes it just becomes a bad habit that becomes learned, and we're not aware of it, which comes down to your awareness is the key. If we're not aware that we're just habitually asking negative questions, because once you become aware, you start actually shifting the quality of the questions of which you ask to be more of a positive question. And it's like a bad habit of thinking and asking questions that I think has kind of been learned over time. Because when, you know, I've met people who grow up in families that are all positive and loving and caring, and they have a very different outlook than some more, families and situations where it's, you know, they come from struggle, they come from hardship. And it's interesting to see where some people can come from great hardship and be super successful. And I don't just mean in terms of money, but I mean in fulfillment. And yet you can see somebody born with that silver spoon in their mouth totally going down the wrong path and having a life of struggle.
Very true. So, very, very true.
And why would you think that is? Where does that come from?
You know, for me, in my field of research, I would say that it's not one singular event that creates a person's attitude. It's a combination. It's your environment. It's a genetic. It's your genetic code. It's also your touch DNA that constitutes your behavior, your personality, your way of responding to life. And as you said, these bad habits or unsupportive environment, they are all encrypted or imprinted into us before we are three. So before 0 to 3, whatever the consciousness, and for me, I don't know if you believe in past lives or your listeners do, but for
I
me,
do.
Energy, it contains information, it cannot be destroyed, it changes forms, meaning the constitution of where your body suit is. There's a consciousness of the elements of your body. If that body is born out of war and deprivation and starvation, then that body will have a natural outlook that is scarce.
Mm.
And it's with the awareness you can change it.
Yeah, and that was my question, is because we're talking about, you know, how our DNA gets kind of programmed from, you know, our parents and our history, then how do we then reprogram our DNA so that when we pass that on, we're not passing on the same challenges?
Yes, the beauty of science is that now it's proving the power what religions and old ancient cultures have been using for thousands of years, and it's a simple magical formula. It's called praying.
Praying. Simple magical formula. I love it. Now, why is prayer so powerful?
Because it allows you to connect with your God self and make a request to your God self. How do you want your body as to be expressed as. So it's kind of your praying is a way that you talk to God, and meditation is the way you listen to God.
Mm. Nice. So let me ask, can you go a little deeper into knowing versus owning?
Yes. So knowing versus owning describes the two parts of your consciousness. Yes, we had said superconscious, subconscious, and consciousness, but there's a soul. It's called your conscience, which is kind of a part of your, I would say, light realm of the soul. Knowing is from your mind, from your mental body. As I said earlier, you know that you should be forgiving. You know you should be kind and caring. The ownership is in your soul, and it's your conscience. When your kindness becomes in the way of your righteousness, that's when you know you have owned kindness.
Nice. Okay.
But when you have to think and you have to convince yourself to be a good person or to have good morals, that means you're still playing in the realm of knowingness and haven't fully integrated as an ownership. It's not your nature yet.
Nice. Well, I really do look forward to reading your book, because there's so much here that supports a lot of my belief systems and some of the work that I like to do as well. Now, how can people, we've only got about 10 minutes left, so I want to make sure we can get some information out to our listeners and our followers online as well. How can they work with you? Where can they get their book? What's next on this journey with you? Because you've got your online School of Awakening, which I think is a fantastic school, because who doesn't want to learn how to awaken? You've got your spa room too, right?
That's right. We have 5-day retreats. Also, it's an online school, but for me, with an offline presence, which is why if you are in Vancouver, or we have a hub there. We call it a caring hub, and there's a number there. If you allow me, I can call out that number.
Yeah, please do.
It's 001-604-597-7126.
Great, thank you. And we'll get that phone number on our website as well, because when you do
yes,
go to consciouslivingradio.org for our listeners, there's a page there that has a bunch of information on Sidra's work. There's some links to our website. We've even posted a beautiful meditation that in regards to anxiety that Sidra has offered to our listeners as well. So that's all there too. Carry on.
The idea, the reason why we have created the hub in 5 different countries, and hopefully we'll expand more, is to provide people the support of light-minded community. Not like-minded, light-minded, who we all connected with light, and support each other on a day-to-day basis as a reminder of who we are when the world beckons to say something different. So it's like a hub of reminder which people can go and visit and use the tools, have meditations. I also do some channeled arts where people can experience healing through looking at the arts and finding the answers, and they're available for people, for our members, light members, gold members, to really, as a genuine way, to utilize these resources and create structural changes in your life.
Great. Well, and I think it's important too, because community is a really important thing that is lacking in today's world. Where we live a couple of million people in our city, and everybody's so independent and kind of disconnected from people. And it's been my experience through our community and just my own life that when this awakening starts happening, it starts shifting, because you don't necessarily relate as well to the people who used to be some of your good friends. The conversations change, and then all of a sudden the support structure really needs to reconnect, which comes back to what you're saying is it takes one to see one, which is the I in your acronym.
Yes, it is. It means that birds of a feather flock together. If you find yourself complaining and whinging about your partner or your colleague, then you start with the mirror and see what part of me is reflecting in them.
I love that birds of a feather flock together. My grandmother used to say that all the time, especially in my younger years when she would kind of look at some of the friends I was hanging around with. She would go, birds of a feather flock together. And I didn't fully recognize or understand what she meant at that time, but I certainly do now. And when you said that, you just take me back to that magical moment with my grandmother.
Grandma's always right. There's the saying for grandma's goes, I'm not always right, but I'm never wrong.
Yeah. She always used to say, "There's no pockets in a shroud."
Love it.
Yeah, I love it. So, what else? What's your spa retreat? What's that about?
So it's a 5-day retreat. It's called a soul spa, and it's like a boot camp. So the spa experience is between 3 months to 6 months, and that's online. But there, in between that spa, 5 days we go together, and each day we cover the elements. Earlier in my talk, I said there's 4 major elements: air, water, earth, fire. I have a whole research on it, how that air creates your mental body and water creates your emotional, and how you can go into the nature of your element and change the constitution of emotion and mind, so your entire life perspective changes. It's like an experience, I can't describe it for words. You have to experience to understand that. For me, soul is space of unlimited light. So it's like a space of unlimited light spa where we go deeper layers of your consciousness and bring out the knowledge of your soul and construct your life based on that.
I love all your acronyms. You got those dialed in really well. That's great.
I love acronyms.
Well, they're an easy way to remember and an easy way to relate to people, you know? So I think you've done a great job on that, so thank you for that.
Thank you.
My pleasure. So we've got a few minutes just before we wrap up. If there was one thing you wanted our listeners to know, or you wanted to have them share, or, you know, like those words of wisdom that you just, if you could only say one thing to somebody, what would that be?
I would say, fail often, fail quickly, clean it up, move on.
Nice. And then Tasha's question, I want to honor Tasha, because Tasha does a lot of our interviews here at Conscious Living. You know, what's your wish for the world?
My wish for the world is they wish for themselves what they wish for others.
Beautiful. So one question I have for you is, you know, this has been a really great conversation, and I love these kind of interviews where we get to kind of really dig into some of the, you know, simple and profound truths about life, which just being simple awareness. Would you be interested in maybe one day, you know, we do some meditation circles and things like that in our home, and maybe we can zoom you in and you can and lead a little session and maybe talk to some of our listeners and our community?
I'd love to. It's my favorite part of being alive. I can really support in that. And if you are open for connecting with your higher self, and also maybe connected with those who have crossed on the other side and say your goodbyes and bring wholeness into your healing, I'm all game for that.
Awesome. Well, when we get off and we're talking throughout the week, we'll definitely set something up, and we'll set up a little mini event for our listeners. And then you can just stay tuned to our website. Now, if anybody wants to know more about Sidra, her offerings, and any of that information, you can certainly go to our website at consciouslivingradio.org. And Sidra, maybe you want to tell the folks your direct website as well?
Yes, it's www.schoolofawakening.com. So it's schoolofawakening.com. And it's WWE, which is specifically, we kept it, it's World We. So I want to create and upgrade the digital vibration of WWW to a unique one, which is World We. So all of our consultants, anybody who's associated, you can find them in a joint world, World We and .sidrajaffrey.com, and it's worldwe.schoolawakening.com.
I love it. Well, I thank you very much for joining us on our show today and sharing your gifts and your insights and your passion for awakening. And we're going to sign off. We're going to go off with some great music of another friend of ours, Shine Edgar. And this track is called Dreamtime Awakening. I thought was fitting for what we're going to do. So again, thank you very much, Sidra, and have yourself a very great evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Conscious Living Radio. For free show downloads, additional information about our guests and topics, or details about upcoming programs, check us out at consciouslivingradio.org.